Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Mark Koops and Eric Day continue to trek new frontiers in unscripted television through their I&E Entertainment Enterprise. Their latest projects involve series for Roku and Amazon and a Jim Thorpe documentary on the History Channel. Koops and Day, join me next from Los Angeles. In our second half hour, we'll get into the merit and demerit of Merritt Street Media's opening 4 days. That's our takeaway of the week. Also ahead, a password-sharing crackdown ahead with Disney's mega content trio, Legally Blonde, the TV series, or two, or more, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tuner Radio, and presented on 46 great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our program today is brought to you by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. 49 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and yes, New York and around the country and around the world, we are okay following the earthquake that took place this morning. We'll have more details about that coming up in a few moments, and we're glad that you are with us wherever you are for the program all about TV's current and future. We have some wonderful people coming away over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program, and yes, if you did get involved with the earthquake, we do like to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we have our Chatman business. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Before we get to our guests and the rest of our program, we are going to bring you up to speed on what took place up and down the East Coast this morning. At 10:23 a.m. Eastern Time, an earthquake did happen. It ran for about 15, 20 seconds. The epicenter of the earthquake was Lebanon, New Jersey. That's about 45 miles from New York City, not far from Allentown, Pennsylvania. And, yes, yours truly was feeling the earthquake for that 15, 20 seconds in the very, very space that I do this program. It was a tremor from side to side. It didn't force me out of my chair, thank goodness. And I'm happy to tell you that, as far as I know, nobody was injured, no fatalities at the scene of the epicenter, no big damage as well. The latest we know about the situation is this. We have not had any aftershocks so far, thank goodness. As far as transportation is concerned, there is still a ground stop at JFK and, from what we know, Newark International Airport. LaGuardia Airport operations are doing okay. As far as rails are concerned, subway and bus service here in New York City, fine. So is Long Island Railroad. So is Metro North. Amtrak from Washington, D.C. to Boston, that is okay. New Jersey Transit, we understand some of the lines have up to 20-minute delays. There are a few light rail lines in Newark and other places that have not been brought back on speed yet because folks there are still checking out track for any damage. So that's where we stand in terms of transportation. As I said, no aftershocks yet. And according to government officials, doesn't look like we will have aftershocks for the rest of the day, at least. If we also, we should point out that according to the U.S. Geological Survey, around 45 million people did experience the earthquake to some degree as far north as Boston and as far south as Washington, D.C. Also, we should point out that I believe there's still a ground stop at Baltimore-Washington National Airport that's halfway between Baltimore and D.C. If you are expecting to go out, for those of you in the New York City areas impacted by the earthquake, if you are expecting to go on a flight or find people coming in and your family, whatever, from a flight, do check your carrier before you travel to the airport. And for those of you around the country that may be expecting people or you may be going on a flight here in New York or Boston or Washington or Baltimore, et cetera, again, check with your carrier because of the ground stops. There may be delays, there may be cancellations with your flight or other flights as well that may impact yours. So do check your carrier before you go to your local airport. If we get any further developments before the hour is up, we will bring them to you. And again, if you'd like to give us a call, let me know how you did with the earthquake or you have any additional information in your area. Either give us a call, 646-652-2906, or put in the chat room. We'll check it out. And we will bring that update to you. And now, joining us live from Los Angeles, the co-managing partners of I&E Entertainment, unscripted TV people, Mark Koops and Eric Day. Mark and Eric, happy to have you here.
Hey, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. And Mark, we'll start with you. How long has INE been around?
We started INE in 2011, so still going on 13 years here, just becoming temperamental teenager in the joys of the entertainment business. And obviously our careers predate that, and that's how we came together by working together and collaborating as partners in our former ventures. And since 2011, have been
grinding it out.
And Eric, for you and Mark, what fuels your interest in doing unscripted reality TV?
I don't want to speak for Mark because I think we both come at this from different places. I mean, I find myself always gravitating to nonfiction stories when I read, and I get wrapped up into true crime, and I think, and just nonfiction stories in general, I gravitate to them personally, and that this has always just been a sort of another way for me to sort of, I guess, feed that that beast inside me in terms of what I'm looking for, and I'm able to sort of, be a part of shaping it for others.
Mark, both of you, both before you founded INE, which is now about 13, 14 years, great. What has you determined? You've been involved in projects like The Biggest Loser on NBC, MasterChef for Fox, Disney series Be Our Chef. What gravitates both of you to take on a particular project? What is the gravitas, or what is the criteria that you set with INE for taking on a project?
That's a great question. I think, there's a lot of different inspirations, a lot of different inspiration, points. I mean, going back to, The Biggest Loser, one of the, no pun intended, biggest shows, I was involved with, that was a time when we were seeing a lot of plastic surgery shows, on the air, like The Swan and Extreme Makeover, the original version, which was about, carving up people, not building homes. And, NBC came to us and wanted to sort of be in that world. And, my former, boss and mentor, Ben Silverman, and I, sort of looked at each other and thought, basically said, how do we tell our moms we're doing a plastic surgery show? It didn't feel authentic to us. It didn't feel authentic to the stories we wanted to tell. And we went back to NBC and suggested, why don't we do it, more the old-fashioned way, through weight loss, through hard work, through, all that went into the show that became The Biggest Loser. And I think, that's why it resonated with audiences, quite frankly, on a longer time and a longer period than the plastic surgery, shock shows when we were in that era of, more shock television and, the Mike Darnell world, beautiful Mike Darnell world of, Fox shock jock journalism. We thought there was an audience that was, would resonate with something that was sort of more rooted in emotion and storytelling and, aspirational. And, I think the proof, ended up being in the pudding, low calorie pudding, but in the low calorie pudding, that we put out there with Biggest Loser.
And Eric, do you think that that's where unscripted TV is going these days? More aspirational, more inspirational, more empowerment, as opposed to putting people down, showing people at their worst?
I wish I had that crystal ball, and I wish I had that much faith. I think ultimately this is still is a business, and people are going to chase the ratings however they can. I think what I will say is, that's certainly where we're focused. I think that's, whether it's thinking about our moms or it's our kids who also stumble across our shows and love the idea of being very proud of shows that we can share with our kids. But I do also think that in the most positive sense, I think there's an opportunity in Unscripted ahead of us in nonfiction to really celebrate different voices and different points of view. That can be a scary proposition sometimes when, scripted is so expensive, where we can get out there, recently, Carpe Diem with Juan Pizarrita, a show that launched on Roku, which is a fresh face in the adventure sort of comedy hybrid space, but it's a bilingual show. So he's not somebody that you would have seen on potentially a traditional television up until now, when we can take a chance on something bilingual, which, to be honest, probably connects with a larger audience base than most shows because of the demographic changes here in the U.S. And so I think, you know, nonfiction gives us the opportunity to put new faces and voices in front of the camera and behind the camera, frankly. And I think that's a really positive thing, if not, you know, entirely aspirational and inspirational.
Carpe Diem with Wampa is one of two series that INA Entertainment launched a couple of weeks ago. We're going to talk about both of them shortly, as well as future projects as well. We're going to speak with Mark Coops and Eric Day. They are the co-managing partners of INE. They join us live from Los Angeles this half hour right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Alba, I'm with you from the other side of the country, New York. We've gone past the earthquake, no aftershocks yet, and happy to be with you wherever you're joining from across the country or around the globe. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode is Monday afternoon. We've got a big 90-minute show for you. Amazon Freebie has a new comedy coming your way later this month. It's called Dinner with the Parents. Our lead guest will be the executive producer and showrunner of that series, John Beckerman. Then, reset from our episode that was supposed to happen this past Wednesday and didn't. We'll tell you why later. It's from the new PBS miniseries, A Brief History of the Future, writer and director Andrew Morgan. And finally, INFP spinoff service, Cowboy Channel, is launching its first original scripted series later this month. It's called Blue Ridge, the Series, based on the hit movie. We'll talk to the showrunner, Gary Wheeler. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Eric, let's talk about Carpe Diem a little bit more. It just started on Roku a couple of weeks ago. As was mentioned, it's a bilingual series. It stars a internet personality on both sides of the border, U.S. and Mexico. His name is Wampa Zurita. He's got 34 million followers on YouTube and other places. How did you find him, and how did you put this show together?
Long story. You know, I first came across Wampa just in his social media. You know, I think we've always felt that there was some amazing talent and great storytelling, you know, particularly when times were a little bit simpler on Vine and some of those, and met a number of talent that we've built shows with in front of them behind the camera, and Wampa was certainly one of those. Made every effort, you know, beating my way through agents and other gatekeepers to get him in here to sit down with us and talk about what he wanted to do if he was given, you know, the opportunity to do something bigger, badder, you know, sort of farther reaching than he could do on his own. And, you know, Mark and I were in that room to meet with Wampa when we finally got the meeting. And, you know, there are times when you meet somebody who just has it, and it's different than when you meet people who don't. No offense to people who don't, but we both came out of that meeting and described Wampa as having levitated on the couch. And, you know, I think my best expression was, I think that guy's going to be the president of Mexico someday. He just has an ability to connect with people that you just don't see that often. And I knew that we were going to double down and figure out what that was. And it took us a couple months to find the format of the show of him unlocking his best life. You know, using the power at his fingertips with his phone and his best adventures and all that. But, you know, long story short, that was 6 years ago when we developed that show. And I think, you know, as a truism about this business, we just never gave up on seeing it come to life. And every opportunity we had to put Wampa and the show in front of buyers. And we got very close with some very big platforms. And you know, there's been a lot of strategic upheaval in the last many years in the business, and COVID was certainly one of them. And nobody was greenlighting a travel show with a Mexican kid during the middle of COVID. But we kept at it and, you know, refined the format again and again, especially since he was no longer living with his mom by the time we got around to making it. But was very happy when Roku put in the phone call about a year ago and said, you know, it's been a long time coming, but we'd like to see if we can figure this out with you. And we couldn't be more happy because I think they're an amazing platform, you know, that's sort of on the vanguard of being ad-supported and not trying to catch up on the ad side, but being core of what they do, but, you know, just doing an amazing job connecting with Americans and now Mexicans as they move into that market that don't want to be shelling out, you know, $100 a month across a bunch of subscriptions, but seem to put the premium elsewhere in terms of where they spend their money and where they spend their time. And so Roku has been a perfect partner to bring Carpe Diem to life for us.
And Mark, Roku has, over the last year, experimented with Spanish language television series that have a lifestyle, aspirational flavor. And this one is bilingual. And also, there's a feeling of Route 66. Here is this person that is coming to the United States, going around the country. He's taking on adventures to the nth degree, but he's also getting involved in all sorts of cultures, whether it is the rodeo culture, whether it is the culture of people scaling mountains, people who fly planes. What was it like to join Wampa in his various travels around the country?
I mean, you know, he's working and partnering with Wampa has been, you know, he's an exceptional individual, and I think, you know, the team we put behind to execute are some of, you know, the best behind the camera, you know, talent as well, who are sort of, you know, working with the likes of, you know, Jimmy Chin and, you know, all the great stuff, you know, he's doing, because, you know, these are real adventures he's going on, and, you know, real adventures come with real risks, you know, and making sure, you know, as a producer, you know, that everyone comes home, you know, safely is, you know, is a big part of that. And I think, you know, equally, you know, I feel like, you know, I love a show like this because I feel like, you know, being a Brit who sort of moved to America in 98 for a one-year experiment that now is, you know, 25 years on and four kids in, you know, I feel, you know, like it's been a, you know, what America offers is an incredible opportunity to experience things, experience life, experience adventure. And, you know, I think those are all things that will resonate with an audience, you know, and, you know, when you're doing something new with a bilingual series, you know, sometimes you need a moment and a partner who's going to help you find your audience and not judge you overnight, you know, et cetera. And so I think, you know, we've launched successfully, you know, both in Mexico and in the U.S. and, you know, look forward to sort of, you know, growing that partnership, you know, with Roku, who really has sort of, I mean, in the best way, brought like an old school view to the partnership, you know, in terms of really embracing our role as producers and his role as talent. You know, not just trying to sort of box them in. They've been very open to collaboration around the marketing of the show and, you know, and the content of the show. And I think it's, you know, it's a sign of when this business is at its best is, you know, when everyone's collaborating together. And, you know, the last few years, you know, maybe there's needed to be a little more of that, you know, and a little more, you know, a return to sort of, you know, the golden days of unscripted with, you know, collaboration at the heart of everything we do.
Eric, the other program that both of you have put together with I&E in recent days is a show on Prime Video, the Amazon Kids Plus part. I didn't know that Amazon, by the way, had a Kids Plus part. It was no Prime Video, no freebie, and so forth. It's called Surprises Seek, and it's a program that sounds like it's a mix of Hide and Seek Meets Double Dare. How'd you come up with the concept and the people that are willing to take part in it?
Look, I think we're lucky enough to go home every night, every afternoon, hopefully, to see our kids. And I think, you know, there's no shortage of inspiration in what they do when the door is unlocked and they're able to go outside. And that was certainly the cornerstone. And, of course, there's a bit of nostalgia for us of having grown up, played it. It's a universal game, hide and seek, that transcends, you know, that really sort of travels the globe. And, you know, how do we put it on, you know, take it up to 11? And I think that's certainly where Slime and these big fantastical worlds come in. I think we are, you know, blessed with an amazing cast of kids who are contestants on the show this year. And look, we're lucky. Amazon took a flyer a bit a couple years ago in letting us experiment with a 3-episode pilot that really allowed us to fine tune what the worlds could be, what the gameplay could be, who the characters could be in the worlds. And so when, you know, that was a very successful pilot for them on the Kids Plus platform, which was very early days, then we were, you know, lucky to sort of give the order for 13 and really blow it out. And it's, you know, I'm lucky enough that, well, Mark as well, both of our kids were actually going to sort of help us produce it, and one of Mark's kids actually is in a couple of the episodes, and so that's, you know, just a two-way street, or I guess a sort of a blessing on all sides that it's you know, something we're proud to make, but we're obviously proud to actually share with our kids in it too.
Mark, how do you create the worlds? Are they done in a studio? Do you go on location? Do you use artificial intelligence or motion capture or other technologies to make the world come to life?
hopefully in future seasons we get to tap into AI and do that. But this is, you know, the old school way. We were on location, you know, here in Southern California, you know, when, you know, it was really a lot of, you know, on the ground, you know, research with, you know, with kids and with, you know, the participants as to worlds that, you know, what are the favorite worlds that they think about as they explore. And I think, you know, some of those traditional worlds of, you know, dinosaurs and, you know, pirates and play parks and, you know, just the joy of, I know, you know, Southern Californian kids, you know, who get to see snow very rarely, you know. And so I think it was really taking inspiration from, you know, our target audience, which is, you know, 5 to 8 year olds, you know, really the worlds that they would want to inhabit and the worlds they see in their scripted shows, you know, like the Backyardigans, which, you know, we've always been huge admirers of, you know. So, you know, it's not taking inspiration from, you know, from the audience itself, you know, and then thinking, you know, how do we elevate that? And again, working with incredible production design team and special effects team, you know, who, you know, are best of brand and best of business, you know, to elevate those worlds and, you know, to see the sort of joy on, you know, kids' faces as they got to play the game, but also as they get now to watch it is, you know, is something we're very proud of.
Well, yeah, and look, I one thing I'll layer on there, Simon, is that, and this is, I give all credit to Mark here, is, you know, there were a lot of discussion of, you know, do we pull this onto a soundstage? Do we, you know, because it, frankly, would be easier to film where we control the environments and all that. And I think it was very important for us, and again, I credit Mark for beating this drum, of it always feeling blue sky and always feeling like there was a world of possibilities when you step out your back door to play with your friends. And I mean that for everybody too, because it was also
the relatability that you could...
Relatability, but also our cast is here to inspire. I mean, there's not a kid on planet Earth who cannot see themselves in the show, including, you know, kids that are ably different or differently abled who are often going to see themselves in the world, because we wanted it to feel that big tent, that accessible. And it felt like it being a blue sky environment where the world, you know, yes, some of them feel a little more boy or a little more girl, but like when you combine them up into three worlds in every episode, there's something for everybody in there. And I think that's very important that it feels that broad, because I think that's, you know, representative of the world our kids are growing up in.
Eric, staying with you, what kind of reaction from viewers are you getting with both shows?
Oh, it's been overwhelming and on so many levels. I think, you know, we're early days. You know, both of them are platformers, so we'll be getting our first look at actual data, such as it will share in the coming weeks. But so anecdotally, though, we know that so much of the content that we've sort of put into the marketing universe on social media for both shows has taken off and gone viral, or whatever the word is this day, in terms of it being shared around. We know there's a ton of excitement for it, and we're just, you know, inviting a bunch of kids to go to a premiere for the party for Surprise and Seek on Amazon, a theater that they own over in Culver City here in a couple of weeks. And we're excited to get sort of everybody in one place to sort of, you know, see the infectious looks on everybody's faces when they're watching the show live and together, which is just not something the kids get to do all the time. And I'll say that on Carpe Diem, you know, the response has been overwhelming. I think my advice to Roku is they hurry up and expand into the rest of Central and Latin America, because there's been a big demand, you know, particularly because of Wampa's audience and following in those places to get it down there too.
But Simon, as you know, television business all too well, you know, we always need more people to be watching, and we always, you know, so encourage your viewers to go check them out and give you feedback. You know, we think they're, you know, fun, you know, fun, informative, and, you know, shows, and hope your audience responds to them as well.
Incidentally, Roku will be showcasing what it's going to be doing in both content and a whole lot more on April 30th as part of the Digital Content New Frontier in New York. And Amazon will be part for the first time of the big upfront week in mid-May. And we'll see if both these shows continue into new seasons at their respective places. We're speaking with Mark Koops and Eric Day. They are the co-managing partners of INE Entertainment. And they're joining us from Los Angeles this half hour on this Friday afternoon edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, 5th of April, 2024, which will go down as the day of the first earthquake on the East Coast in more than half a century. Sound, I'm with you from one of the zones of the earthquake, NYC, 49 degrees, the top of the hour. Let's hear from you in our remaining minutes with both guests. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up for our next half hour, we'll have the latest TV news notes. We'll have our classic trivia question of the week, and we'll also have our takeaway of the week. On Monday, we did a whole deep dive on Dr. Phil's Merritt Street Media Network, and we wondered if it was going to launch on time on Tuesday. It did. We'll tell you how it did. We'll tell you about two new shows coming up this weekend morning, and we'll tell you what the merit and the demerit so far of the network has been. That's coming up in our next half hour. Gentlemen, you've got a project for the History Channel coming up about one of the great athletes of any sport at any time, Jim Thorpe. He was the first Olympic gold medalist who was Native American. He was great with baseball, football, and basketball players. Some people have seen the movie from Warner Brothers in the 50s with Burt Lancaster playing Thorpe. Where are you at in terms of putting this on the History Channel?
We are deep into pre-production, really getting into production. So been really circling up with some of the biggest sports and Native American and Jim Thorpe scholars and academics, and really just sort of like, you know, we've been big fans of Jim's story for a long time. You know, I think it's been a tough grind, and maybe the world shifted a bit in this, you know, open to telling a story about a Native American. I think we're very excited that we've got a Native American director in Chris Ayer, who was so excited to jump in on this from the get-go, long before LeBron and the team at Spring Hill raised their hand and long before history. Chris really wanted to throw in, and so he's been leading the charge to help shape this story for the masses, and I think that's the opportunity to go sort of beyond you know, the books and do something that's a very broadly entertaining way to capture Jim's life.
And we should point out that Chris Ayer was, of course, the director of the great independent feature Smoke Signal. I believe he's worked on Dark Winds, both seasons for AMC, coming back for a third season either this year or next year. So he's been involved both with film and television. I understand that you may be doing something with LeBron James' production company, Spring Hill. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Spring Hill, who is our partner on the Jim Thorpe documentary for History. That's kind of the, you know, the first of many things that we've got cooking with them. They are fantastic partners, great, just, you know, sort of visionary creatives and really put their sort of weight as it is behind some very important projects, and so we're very lucky to have them as partners.
Yeah, I think they're always looking to explore, you know, and tell stories of, you know, voices, you know, different voices, and bring different voices to sort of the mainstream. And I think, you know, they've been you know, a great part of the history, and, you know, felt like a perfect partner to bring, you know, Jim Thorpe's story, you know, to life.
Eric, what else is next beyond Jim Thorpe? And at some point for both of you, do you want to do anything scripted or semi-scripted?
You know, we've got a couple of things in the narrative and the scripted space, but our bread and butter and our real passion is in the unscripted space. We've got a couple other documentaries in and around the sports world, including one we're very excited about that's really looking at the underbelly of the professional tennis world. And look, we've got we continue to double down on our partnership with Spring Hill. Wamba Zarita, who is the star of Carpe Diem, and his Arco Productions down in Mexico City is another place where we've partnered up to develop a couple of other things. But we continue to expand the slate in the world of family and co-viewing, true crime, mystery, particularly sort of in the far reaches of Alaska, where we've had a lot of success in hunting for Bigfoots and other mysteries, and again, in sports as well, in terms of series we're out with. What else, Mark?
Yeah, looking at, you know, talent who have exploded on different platforms. You know, we're blessed to be, you know, done a lot of work at the end of 2023 and into the first quarter of 2024 with Carby Lame, you know, the number one TikTok sensation, you know, and, you know, it's fascinating for us to be, you know, working with a 22-year-old Senegalese Italian, you know, who has, you know, got such a unique story point and unique lens on the world, you know, that really educates us that, you know, what's possible in the modern day media landscape. And so I think that's what's exciting for us is, you know, is always looking for new voices you know, whether that be Ricky Gervais back in the day with The Office when we brought that across from the UK to, you know, Carvey, who hopes to be, you know, the next sort of, you know, comedy star, you know, global comedy star. So, you know, it's exciting time.
Again, the company is I&E Entertainment, and currently their latest series are Carpe Diem with Wampa. That's running on Roku, available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. And Surprise and Seek is running on Prime Video through their Amazon Kids Plus banner. That's also available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles near you. For more details about what the company is doing with all sorts of programming, go to ineentertainment.com. That's ineentertainment.com. Mark Koops, Eric Day, thank you both for joining us on a Friday afternoon. Congratulations on your new shows and the Jim Thorpe documentary. We'd love to have you back with Chris Iyer when that documentary is ready to go on the History Channel. And you're welcome back anytime. It's been a pleasure to have both of you.
Absolute pleasure, Simon. Thank you so much for having us.
You're very welcome. Mark, Eric, take care. All the greatest. Have a wonderful weekend ahead.
You too. Good luck with the aftershock.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. I'm Entertainment co-managing partners Mark Koops, Eric Day, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, news notes, our classic trivia question of the week, and our takeaway of the week, what's cooking with Merritt Street Media, Dr. Phil's new television network, and Mega Content Service. What's the merits and the demerits so far? And it's not just with Merritt Street, it's also with the entertainment media covering it, or actually not. We'll get to all of that as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. Speaker.com and Tune.com, together reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. For all the world of sports news you want and much more, it's the Richard Miller Report. Happens tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. I know he'll have a lot on the women's and the men's basketball NCAA Final Four. Don't forget women's basketball tonight, 7 and 9 p.m. on ESPN. Tomorrow, I believe it is on either TBS or TNT. That's the men's. And, of course, have a whole lot more. Maybe some WrestleMania stuff, too. That's the Richard Miller Report tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best BTR 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday afternoon, the afternoon after the earthquake here on the East Coast. First one in over a century, believe it or not. Simon Abbott with you live from one of the places that felt the earthquake, NYC. 49 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Welcome to those of you joining at the top of the hour. And if you have questions or comments about the world of television or dealing with the earthquake, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and we will begin the second half of our program with news notes. The password-sharing crackdown movement that was paid off huge for Netflix over the last year, is moving in with Disney+, Hulu, and ESPN+. Walt Disney Chief Executive Bob Iger disclosed that the first round of crackdown will start with Disney Plus in June among some countries and grow to worldwide status in September. He stopped short of saying how soon the crackdown would happen here in the U.S. and how well Disney does with turning shared consumers into new subscribers may determine when similar measures will be enacted at Hulu and ESPN+. In unrelated development, today will be the last day of Norby Williamson's tenure as a top ESPN executive. After 39 years of the Disney-owned sports empire, current executive editor and head of event and studio production, Williamson will depart due to a clash of long-range operations policy with ESPN content president Bert Magnus. In a memo to ESPN employees this morning, Magnus confirmed a search for Williamson's successor will start soon. Reese Witherspoon's Hello Sunshine content space is working with Prime Video on one, maybe more than one, series derived from Legally Blonde, the popular film she starred in. Gossip Girl co-creators and producers Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage are working with Witherspoon on the initial Blonde offshoot. The movie is one of several MGM and United Artists movies under review at Amazon's Prime Video unit for TV series Play, including RoboCop and Barbershop. Now quickies, Peter Claffey and Dexter Saul Ansel will co-star in HBO's Game of Thrones prequel, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, The Hedge Knight, expected in 2025. Docu-special Melissa Etheridge, I'm Not Broken, comes on Paramount Plus later this year. Etheridge will be a presenter on Sunday night TNT Music Awards, simulcast live on Paramount Plus and CBS from Austin, Texas. Breaking the Silence, a follow-up episode on an Investigation Discovery's controversial Quiet on Set, The Dark Sides of Kids TV miniseries, will run Sunday night. Once again, the main topic is alleged abuse of the Nickelodeon series, created and supervised by Dan Schneider. And Prime Video will continue to carry WNBA regular season games under a new multi-year agreement reached with the league earlier today. The commitment, 21 games per season. And that is news notes for today. Now time for our classic trivia question. Once again, we're bringing you the question that we introduced on this program on Monday. If you're first with the correct answer, we have 7 prizes in play for you. The free Uber card from AMC Networks, the free Redbox movie night on us from Crackle Connect, the 2024 American Express Pocket Calendar, 2 wonderful music CDs, Lifetime's Women in Rock, and Chicago's Greatest Hits, including songs like Feeling Stronger Every Day, I've Been Searching So Long, and Baby, What a Big Surprise, and 2 great books about the world of television, Apocalypse TV, How the Day After Helped End the Cold War, by University of Southern California Professor David Craig, and Running the Show, Television from the Inside, by Jeff Melvoin, the former writer and showrunner of the popular CBS series Northern Exposure. Both Craig and Melvoin were on this program last year. All those prizes can be yours if you know the answer to this question. What was the first Quinn Martin television series under his QM Productions banner? What was Quinn Martin's first television series under his QM Productions banner? Let me tell you, it's not The Untouchables. That was under Desilu, where Quinn Martin at the time was executive in charge of production. And it wasn't The Fugitive, which ran on ABC a couple of years later. The first QM production was on ABC in 1961. That's 1961. You can see episodes on YouTube. So once again, the question, what was the first Quinn Martin-produced television series under his QM Productions banner? And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and where you're emailing from. And if your answer includes the star of that series, you will also win another book prize. It's the new bestseller, The Deerfield Massacre by James Swanson. He is the author of Manhunt, now the popular Apple TV Plus miniseries. He's the executive producer of that program. He was on our show several weeks ago. So that book prize, The Deerfield Massacre by James Swanson, could be yours if your answer includes the name of the star on that Quinn Martin-produced series. Once again, you go to simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. First person emailing the correct answer wins. If you're a previous winner or guest in this program, you are not eligible. And remember, we're only taking email entries only. If you we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question first thing Saturday morning, tomorrow morning on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Once again, the question, what was Quinn Martin's first television series under his QM Productions banner? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. Do so today, and all the very best. Coming up next, our takeaway of the week, the merit and demerit of Merritt Street Media, Dr. Phil's new television network. First, a message from our great sponsor, Liquid IV. Have you heard there's a new wellness routine that is so easy to take? And it keeps you in a greater shape. It's Liquid IV, the great-tasting drink mix in stick form that when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get 5 essential vitamins, B3, 5, 6, 12, and vitamin C, plus 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. 12 flavors to drink from. They're all just and refreshing, like Concord grape and watermelon. Plus, there's now a line of great sugar-free flavors, zero sugar, green grape, peach, and others as well. Liquid IV is gluten-free, dairy, and soy-free. So what are you going to do to get into the habit of Liquid IV? Go to their website, liquidiv.com. It's liquidiv.com to order. When you do, you get 20% off when you use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop for better hydration today. Just use the promo code TELEVISE at liquidiv.com. TELEVISE, T-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures with real hydrating. And now it's time for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, where we highlight a development or two that happened this week that you should take away from as being very important to television's future. And our takeaway this week follows up on what we talked about a lot on Monday's program, and that is the new network started by Dr. Phil on Tuesday morning, Merritt Street Media. Now, when we were on Monday, we devoted a lot of the program to Merritt Street. We told you what we knew about at the time, what we didn't know about at the time, And we mentioned two other things. One, that there had not been a lot of publicity by the people running the service about the service. And secondly, there was a real absence of coverage about Merritt Street Media by the likes of The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, which did do a story, but put it behind a paywall so the general public could not see it, unless they paid to use that paywall. The Wrap, Deadline, Hollywood Daily, shows like Entertainment Tonight, Extra, TMZ, etc., and general coverage by the all-news channels and so forth. Well, guess what? Merritt Street Media did launch on time Tuesday morning, April 2nd. So here's what we know now about the service. It's actually two services. There is the linear channel, Merritt Street Media, and then there is a mega content version called Merritt Plus. Now, Merritt Street Media is now running on over 40 local television stations across the country, carried and offered by Trinity Broadcasting Network, the religious programming service, which also has a very popular religious cable channel. It is also playing on DirecTV Nationwide, channel 306, on Dish Network, channel 247, on UVerse TV cable systems at channel 158, and if you have the Xfinity service on Comcast Cable in places like Pittsburgh, Boston, Philadelphia, here in New York, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, you can watch it on channel 1097. And next month, other Comcast systems will turn the service on. In addition, the program is also running as a channel on Samsung's multi-channel bundle of smart TV sets, Samsung TV Plus. And overall, 80 million plus households now have access to the linear TV channel. 20 million, by the way, through Samsung's smart TV bundle. Now, the other way you can watch Merritt is on Merritt Plus. This is the mega content version, on demand. And right now, you can find it on Apple TV, on Amazon Fire TV, on Roku, and on television sets that use Android TV as the operating system. It is also available mobile on Android and on iPhone. Now, in terms of the programming, what we told you about on Monday did happen. There is a daily morning show from 8 to 10 Eastern Time called Morning on Merritt Street. There is also a second newscast, The News on Merritt Street, which is live from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Nancy Grace is doing an hour as part of a true crime block, four-hour block that runs from 3 to 7 p.m. Her show called Crime Stories, which deals with cold cases and other true crime situations ripped from the headlines. That's on from 6 to 7 p.m. Dr. Phil has his new primetime series running. That's on from 8 to 9 Eastern Time. It is a series that is more on headlines and social issues, including topics like the rise of anti-Semitism in America, diversity, education, diversity, equity and inclusion, teachers that are in danger from their students, extreme parenting, the role of China in American life. And there's also a two-part special where Dr. Phil taped it at Eagle Pass, Texas, dealing with the crisis at the southern border. So that's on the schedule, along with special repackaged episodes of Dr. Phil, some dealing with true crime, some dealing with other issues, with parenting and family advice called Dr. Phil Wake Up. There's a Bear Grylls show, The Island, a Mike Rose series, somebody's got to do it. And through the partnership that was announced a week or so ago with Steve Harvey, the former NBC Universal syndicated talk show that Harvey did for several seasons, Steve. So that is currently what is on Merritt Street Media, both the linear network and on the mega content version, Merritt Plus. Now, tomorrow and Sunday, two new series will join the schedule. They're both in the morning. Tomorrow, the new series from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time is called Centuries Collide. Here's what Merritt Street has to say about it. Who was the first social media influencer? When was the computer invented? What was the first use of wireless technology? Would you believe each of these stories takes place centuries ago? And just who were the saints behind our favorite holidays? Host Cody Crouch invites you to explore fascinating moments in world history that made possible the technologies and traditions of the modern age. So it's called Centuries Collide, and it's going to be on Saturday, starting tomorrow, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, runs for an hour. And if the name Crouch is familiar, Cody is related to Paul Crouch, who was the founder of Trinity Broadcast Network. Then on Sunday, a new half-hour show will start called The Scott Rasmussen Show. Now, Scott Rasmussen is the famous public opinion pollster. And on this program, He's going to provide weekly updates. Again, this was the press release that came out on Tuesday morning when the network launched. It will be weekly updates on the challenges and opportunities facing the nation from the perspective of everyday Americans. More than just politics, his data and analysis explore the hopes, dreams, and values that drive our nation. Each all-new show will feature a commentary featuring Rasmussen's unique perspective, a deep dive into an issue or topic, and updates on how the public views current events. Again, that's the Scott Rasmussen Show. That will premiere this Sunday, that's April 7th, from 10 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Merritt Street Media and then later on Merritt Plus. So that is the latest on where the network stands. So let's talk about first the merit of Merritt Street Media. They're up. They're running, both linear and mega content-wise. It's up. It's running. Far and away, no issues. We still don't know what advertisers are on the service, how many minutes of advertising per hour, and we also don't know about what new shows will be added in the future, including shows in prime time, shows during the day, shows on the weekend, both daytime and prime time, et cetera, et cetera. And we still don't know whether or not at some point the network will do scripted television or semi-scripted television. Don't forget that Dr. Phil and his son Jay McGraw have experience with this from the sixth-season hit on CBS Bull and the current hit that they are involved with, So Help Me Todd, now in its second season on CBS. And it looks like it'll probably be renewed for a third this fall. The demerit is both on Merritt Street and on people covering it. As far as I know, this is the only program that has been covering Merritt Street Media. And there's two reasons why. One, up to this point, Merritt Street has not done a press conference, a press breakfast or lunch here in New York or Los Angeles or where they're based in Dallas, Texas, or a Zoom call with reporters to talk about the network. Yes, Dr. Phil has been doing the rounds of all sorts of different TV shows and radio shows. Mostly, however, they're not focused as much on Merritt Street as they are on his new book, We've Got Issues. Now, the other part of the problem is that, again, as we said on Monday, there has been no coverage by most media about the network, especially the entertainment media. Here we are 4 days into its existence, and there's still no stories in the Hollywood Reporter. There's been no follow-up in Variety, in The Wrap, on Deadline Hollywood Daily, on Broadcasting Cable, on Multi-Channel News or Next TV, and on any of the Entertainment Tonight type shows in broadcast syndication. I've seen nothing on cable news networks, whether CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, or networks like CNBC and Bloomberg Business, Newsmax, One America, News Nation, et cetera, et cetera. Well, News Nation, we should point out, did do an interview on Chris Cuomo's program with Dr. Phil. It was one half of the special Dr. Phil, Bill O'Reilly episode that was sponsored with Liminal Commercial Interruption by J.P. Morgan Chase. However, since the launch, there has been no coverage, and that is shocking. And it's also shocking that given the ambition of this network, that there's been no press conference. There's been no real outreach by the network, aside from the Dr. Phil interviews, to talk to reporters about what is going on current and future with these services. So here's what I think should happen going forward. Number one, The sooner Merritt Street Media does a press conference or a conference call with reporters or an event here in New York, the better. The sooner, the better. Also, you should know that on Tuesday, we emailed the press relations person at Merritt Street. We said, congratulations on the launch. We would love to have you. We would love to have Dr. Phil or Jay McGraw, who's been this one before, when he did The Doctors, a syndicated show, and ran over a decade on broadcast stations, including CBS, WCBS here in New York. We would love to have Jay McGraw or Joel Cheatwood, the chief operating officer, somebody from Merritt Street on this program. As of this moment, we have not heard back, phone call or email, from that PR person at Merritt Street Media. I really, really hope that they will decide at some point to do it. We are keeping the invite open. And at the same time, it is imperative that the entertainment trade press, the general press, cover this service. There is no excuse, none, for the Hollywood Reporter, for Variety, the Wrap, Deadline, broadcast cable, multi-channel news, etc., not to cover this network. This is a network that has very high ambitions. They want to be a major player in television, and they deserve to be treated that way. And not as an also-ran, and not as a, oh, it's just another one of all the networks that are coming to light by smart TV sets, by smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. It's time for both sides, Merritt Street and the entertainment press and the general press covering it, to step up and do something. And one more time, we have invited and we will continue to have the invitation open for somebody from Merritt Street to come on this and give us the full 10 yards about how Merritt Street is doing and what they've got planned for the future. And I promise you that we will treat them fairly. It will be a live interview, not taped, and we will give you the opportunity to speak directly to the Merritt Street people, whoever decides to come on. So we'll keep you posted. And that is our takeaway of the week. Before we leave you today, I want to address why we were not on Wednesday when we told you we were going to be on. And we were going to be on Wednesday with Andrew Morgan. He is the writer director of the new PBS miniseries, A Brief History of the Future, which premiered on Wednesday night. We were all set to go. And then when I called into Blog Talk Radio to get connected, this was 14 minutes before high 3 o'clock Eastern Time, noon Pacific, our wonderful Mary Poppins-like voice told us we were experiencing a technical difficulty at Blog Talk Radio. Please call back or get to the Blog Talk Radio website and communicate there. We tried several more times, and by 2:54 p.m. Eastern Time, 11:54 p.m. Pacific, it was very clear that we were not going to get on the air. So we canceled the show. And I'm happy to say that the people at PBS understood, and Andrew Morgan will be on our program on Monday. I don't have a problem with Blog Talk Radio having a technical breakdown. As we have said on this program over and over and over again, the Internet is a very fragile situation. And anything from a power outage to a tornado to, yes, an earthquake between where you are and I am and where Blog Talk Radio is can impact and upset the apple cart of the Internet. It's a fragile, fragile deal. And, yes, it is embarrassing and it's frustrating when it happens. And we can deal with it. The problem I have, and I hope other Blog Talk Radio hosts and producers have it as well, with what took place on Wednesday, was the absence of a heads up when the problem happened. Instead of getting a heads up, whether by email, by voicemail, by phone call, along the lines of, we are now experiencing a problem here at Blog Talk Radio. We hope to resolve it as soon as possible. We can't guarantee that we will do it in time for your show to go on the air. Therefore, we're giving you a heads up that whatever you need to do, do it. It's one thing to get that heads up when the problem surfaces. It is another thing to learn about it 15 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes before you go on the air. And you realize, whoop-de-doo, we can't go on. Personally, I think this is unacceptable. And I hope that Blog Talk Radio will take a lesson from this and will adjust their policy so that when a breakdown at their end happens, they don't wait and let you find out before you go on the air, that they will, by phone call, by email, whatever means necessary, communicate in advance when the problem happens. Give us the heads up. It's not asking for much. And as I learned at Landmark, taking their courses, and I live by this rule, anything can be handled in communication, no matter how dire it is. And it starts with the people whether it's myself or whoever, that need to do the communicating, do the communicating. Give the heads up so that we can avoid this kind of situation down the road. It is not much to ask for. And it will save a lot of people, starting with yours truly, a lot of grief. Again, I want to thank my guests, Mark Koops and Eric Day, for being with us from I&E Entertainment. Again, you can catch their programming on Roku and on Amazon Prime Video. Carp DPM with Wampa, that's Mexican internet personality Wampa Zurita. That's on Roku. And Surprise and Seek, which is now playing on Prime Video through their Amazon Kids Plus deal. And for more details about their service and their programming, go to ienentertainment.com, ienentertainment.com. Again, they've got the Jim Thorpe docuseries, 2-part 1, that's coming soon on the History Channel. And as soon as we find out about that, we'd like to have Mark, Eric, and Chris Iyer, the director of that project, on this very program. I hope that all of you have a wonderful weekend ahead. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, we have a big 90-day show for you from the new Amazon Freebie scripted series, Dinner with the Parents. We will have executive producer and showrunner John Fickerman in our first half hour. Then, reset from this past Wednesday, from A Brief History of the Future on PBS, writer director Andrew Morgan. And finally, from the new Cowboy Way Channel's first scripted series, Blue Ridge the Series, showrunner Gary Wheeler. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And over the weekend, check us out on our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, and our 46 wonderful podcast sites, from Zencaster to Odyssey, Acast, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube Music. Our programs will be available any time of the weekend. As always, we love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate with me, I communicate back with you in 24 hours. That's our promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and other carriers of this program. Andy Cho is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is content executive. Website is by On Podium. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Televised was brought to you today by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. For Tomorrow Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. For those of you tuning in to the basketball women's tournament Final Four tonight on ESPN and tomorrow on TBS or TNT, the men's Final Four, we hope you have a great time. Good luck to all 8 teams. Don't forget, you can also catch both the women's and men's basketball Final Four action on Westwood One through the Westwood One NCAA radio network. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Of course, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing, keep now and then, please make it safe. Make it great for you and others you love. Goodness gracious, hopefully, no more earthquakes for at least another century here in New York or anywhere around the country. And, of course, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.